Congratulations, you just found the number one over 50 health and wellness podcast on the planet. Hello, and welcome to the Over 50 Health and Wellness Podcast. I'm your host, Kevin English. I'm the founder of The Silver Edge, and our mission is to help you build and maintain a lean, healthy body that you love for the rest of your life, so you can show up in the second half of your life as the healthiest, strongest, most vital version of yourself. Today, we have another episode of The Coach's Corner, but instead of me flying solo today, I'm joined by a very special co-host, none other than Silver Edge coach and program manager, Monica Jacobs. In today's episode, Coach Monica and I will share our thoughts on a couple of recent news stories about the future of medical technology and its implication for those of us over 50 on our long-term health and wellness. And we'll also chat for a bit about 21-day challenges, what we love about them, and what we hate about them. So if you're over 50 and at all interested in changing your body from a fat storer to a fat-burning machine, stick around. This episode was made for you. Monica, welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much, Kevin. I'm happy to be here with you.
Yeah, it's been a little bit. Right before we hopped on here, I was just looking. Looks like you were originally on here. We did a Meet Coach Monica episode way back in October of 2022. I know, right? It's been a little while ago.
It's been a while. Yeah.
So if anybody's interested in Coach Monica's background story, definitely go back and check that out. And then you were on last, I think, August with Nancy, one of our clients who had an amazing body transformation. I think she lost, if I'm correct in saying, 6 inches from her waist in 5 months, really dramatic.
Yes.
Yeah.
She saw, now, you know, it's funny. She didn't see so much weight loss.
She didn't see so much on the scale.
Major,
she saw the tape measure move, which, look, as coaches, that's what we love.
Major body recomposition.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And she was also in training. She went on this fabulous trip to England.
She did.
Actually to Wales.
That's right.
And it's this walking tour of Wales. And you're walking
on a month long, right?
This ancient trail or something. Yeah, she was gone for a month.
Yeah.
And went on this trail, and she was like, I've got to train for this because there's steps. You go up all these steps. You're touring all these castles. You're going up and down hills. I'm like, so we put in a lot of lower body stuff, and she did awesome.
She did. She did do awesome. Yeah.
She said she was well-trained.
She was well-trained.
When she went on that trip.
Yeah. So that's...
She was adequately trained.
Yeah. What a wonderful life experience, right? To go out and to be healthy enough and strong enough to be able to confidently go out and do something amazing like that. Absolutely love it. Anybody who's interested in hearing that story, obviously that's another podcast. You can go back and listen to that. Let's see what's new here. So Monica, I just got back from, not just back, but last week or so, got back from New Orleans. Have you ever been?
I have, but oh my gosh, it's been literally, oh my gosh, I have to think how old my son is. Okay. It's probably been 25 years.
It's been a minute.
So 100 years ago. When I had a professional career.
Hold up.
You have a
professional, as I would say as a coach, you definitely have a professional career and you have a life-changing one. But go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, yes.
You had a real job,
it
right?
It was a different career.
It was a different career, yes.
it was a different career.
Another lifetime
ago. Yes, I used to get their own business. And it seems like a lifetime ago. It was pre-kids.
Yeah. It does seem like a lifetime.
But it's probably been 24 years since I've been in New Orleans. But oh my gosh, it's fabulous.
Yeah.
The food.
Oh yeah.
The food is awesome.
100%.
Every time I went there, I was like, okay, take me to some fabulous restaurant.
Yes. Yeah, agree. So
yeah.
I'll tell you what, I've been there once before, like you, a lifetime ago. It was probably 20 something years ago. This funny thing happened. One of my brothers, so I got two brothers and a sister, and one of my brothers one day out of the blue was like, dude, we need to run a marathon. And at the time, none of us were runners at all. None of us had run a 5K. None of us were joggers. So we weren't runners. Just one brother just got this.
Boy, that's quite.
Yeah. So our first race was going to be
a
marathon, which is ridiculous looking back at it. But so we did. He bought a book called The 4 Months to Your First 4-Hour Marathon, I think. At any rate, so this brother who put this whole thing together, I think he had seen a news story that said Oprah Winfrey had recently run a marathon. He's like, well, how hard could it be? And he was, in fact, he, as it turns out, mistakenly thought that she ran a sub 4-hour marathon. So we're all thinking, oh, that can't be that difficult then. We're young, kind of sort of fit dudes, but not really. Not with my current understanding of fitness. We were not anywhere near that. But long story short, we spent 4 months. It was a good bonding experience. We all got together and did our long runs every weekend. We all had the same program each week and we were kind of excited about it. And we get down there. So we flew in, we got there late in the afternoon, went out, we got a big, big carb dinner, because that's what you do before you run a marathon, you carb up. And then we immediately went to bed because you got to get up at like 5 o'clock in the morning to be at 6 o'clock starting line or something. And this was the Mardi Gras marathon. So it was about this time of year, I suppose. And we ran the marathon, completed the marathon. None of us in under 4 minutes, all of us in over 4 minutes, but we finished it.
Yeah. If my sister called me tomorrow and said she wanted to run a marathon, I would flat out ask her what she had been smoking because
right.
My sister would never do
that. That's what I should have done. But at any rate, so we finished. Back then I was drinking and without any limitations, let's just say. And you're in New Orleans. You're at the Mardi Gras marathon. There's beer trucks at the finish line. So I was completely wiped out.
Oh, yeah.
As soon as I could get my bearings, I went over to the beer truck with the brothers and we had some beers. So after those beers and having run a marathon, drank a bunch of beer, we went to the room, we napped, we got up, we went out for like an hour because we had just beaten ourselves up. We were trashed. Went back to the room, basically passed out, got up early the next morning, flew out. So that was all I'd seen of New Orleans up until then. Basically,
you saw very
no. I mean, I ran through
you
the
saw
French
it from
Quarter,
running down the
yeah,
street.
Yeah, I saw it running down the street. Yeah. That was it. And I don't really remember much of that anyway. But this time, my wife Tara, who you know is a badass real estate lady boss, right? So she runs a team of real estate agents, and we were down in New Orleans for one of her conferences, for a real estate conference. So I was just tagging along, which meant that, well, my wife was in these sessions and other things. I was just left to wander around. So I walked all over that beautiful city. I ate all the food, saw street musicians. It was just fabulous. You know, when I know.
Oh, that is the best way to experience New Orleans.
New Orleans is the best walking city practically
it's
ever.
Just free reign walking
no
around.
Agenda.
And like,
no agenda.
Not to have a schedule.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Best way.
Ate all the foods.
Totally.
Yeah.
To see New Orleans.
Loved it. Absolutely loved it.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds awesome.
So as you know, probably the listener doesn't, I have been gluten-free. So I'd been gluten-free maybe a month before this trip because of my experience with Wild Health. And you guys listen to Wild Health. If you haven't, that was the Wild Health CEO was actually on the podcast last week, which is a really, really good episode. Guys, go back and check that out if you haven't already. But because I did genetic testing with them and it was found out that I do not metabolize gluten very well. In fact, I've got a gene that puts me at high risk for celiac. And side note, my dad is full-blown celiac. I quit doing gluten. Now, I'm not a person who, I don't feel like I have gluten sensitivity. I eat bread and pasta and nothing happens digestively. Mm-hmm. I cut it out. And then I was kind of interested because when I got into New Orleans, I hadn't really decided what I was going to do gluten-wise. I got there, I was like, you know what? I am not going to be that guy that, is there gluten in this? Every time I sat down to order something. And I wanted to experience all of that New Orleans had. So I just ate everything. I mean, I ate the beignets. Yeah. I just didn't worry about it.
Oh,
yeah, right?
Awesome, good.
Yeah, Café du Monde. And nothing happened. I didn't experience any.
No change.
No change. And then, of course, now I'm back to being
nothing.
Gluten. Yeah. But what was interesting.
Yeah. Are any of your brothers celiac or have this problem?
No. My sister is gluten intolerant. She avoids gluten and just eats it occasionally. But it's an interesting thing. And the reason I decided to try this gluten-free is in my blood work. So remember, my genetic panel showed that I had a genetic variant that meant I did not metabolize gluten very well. And my blood work showed a high CRP score. So that's C-reactive protein, which is an indicator of high inflammation. And so my doctor was saying, hey, look, even if it's not causing gluten, causes this gastric distress, it may be, I suspect, in fact, that it is responsible for this inflammation in your body. No bueno. You don't want that.
Yeah.
Let's cut it out. So it'll be really interesting. Next month, in fact, I go for follow-up blood work. It'll be interesting to see if that number comes down without eating the gluten in there. So at any rate.
That's interesting. I mean, a lot of people, they can digest gluten. That's not the issue. It's not that their body can't break it down. You know, people who are celiac, they have the gas and other gastric issues from it when they eat it. I mean, you can digest it, but that doesn't mean that it's not causing inflammation in your body. And right. It may take a little bit for you to be away from
correct.
That inflammation yeah. before you can really see that, oh, wait a minute, this feels better. Mm-hmm. I mean, the blood work will definitely be, you know, the true test
correct. Yeah.
to see if that comes down. But it may take a little bit of being totally away from it before you see any changes.
I agree. And I've had, and I bet you have in your life as well, but I've had times when I would have told you that I was fine with something. And then when I changed it, I realized I was much better after the change. And I wasn't lying before. That was my baseline. And I didn't understand that there was yeah. how much better I could feel by yeah. making some oftentimes very simple changes. So yeah, I agree. It'll be interesting to see what happens.
I'm that way.
Yeah.
With dairy.
Oh, is that right?
So I've had eczema. Oh yeah. I've had eczema my entire life.
Cut out dairy.
The pediatrician kept on telling my mom, no, she'll outgrow it. You know, all the kids have eczema. She'll outgrow it when she gets older. Well, I was 40 years old.
Still hadn't outgrown it? Still waiting to?
So, I never outgrew it. So, I cut dairy out, went away. Never had it again.
Well, you know what?
If
I had to give up gluten or dairy, it would be gluten. I'd be sad if I had to give up my dairy, to be honest. Yeah.
Actually, I found that I can eat some dairy.
That's like
I can
my wife.
Eat generally the fat from the dairy. Yeah, like cheese yep. and butter seems
yes.
to be okay.
Yeah.
But I don't drink milk. I don't eat
right.
ice cream.
Oh, that's the saddest part right there.
I have to admit, every now and again, I will miss ice yeah. cream. But and every now and again, I'll have a little bit like it. You know, my kids are smaller at birthday parties and stuff like that. But otherwise, I haven't really missed it.
Yeah.
And I sure do like not having eczema.
Sure. Yeah.
yeah. I can digest it. It's that it causes, for whatever reason, this inflammation right. in my body. And I've even been allergy tested for yeah. it. And even the allergist was kind of stumped. He's like, well, you're not allergic to dairy, but obviously you are reacting to something in the dairy. So I just stay away from milk.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's the beauty of elimination diets, right? And we
sure.
have clients, I know that we've asked them to experiment. Hey, let's take, you know, let's start with dairy. Let's start because dairy and gluten are the two
right.
big triggers, right? Let's take one of those out.
Yes.
Let's do it for 30 days. Let's see how you feel. Now, let's
right.
see. This podcast will air. So, no, this the podcast. I did a podcast interview with Dr. Sean Baker, who's the big carnivore guy. Some of you may even follow mm-hmm. him on social media. And that you want to talk about the ultimate elimination diet when you do something as extreme as carnivore. And I was kind of surprised in our conversation with
yeah.
him. I kind of expected him to be a carnivore zealot and think that everybody should eat that way. And he did not come across that way at all. In fact, he said, when I asked
really?
Him, no, exactly. Yeah.
That's what I would expect.
That's what I would have expected. Yeah.
yeah.
And when I said, well, who should do this? And he basically said, anybody who has, what do you call it when you, why have I just lost that word? If you have rheumatoid arthritis or Crohn's disease or eczema, you have what?
Irritable bowel syndrome.
Yes. What's yeah. the umbrella word for that? So I can cut all this out and put that in. Anybody has?
Well, chronic inflammation.
Chronic inflammation.
Yeah.
I'm not going to come up with it. Dang, I'm drawing a blank. But basically, he said anybody who's got any of these conditions like irritable bowel syndrome, anybody who's got Crohn's disease, anybody who's got rheumatoid arthritis, any of these types of conditions, that they should do this for 90 days because his point was, it is the ultimate elimination diet. And I thought that was a very interesting use case for something as extreme as carnivore, because you're right. If there's something in
extreme.
Your diet that is causing inflammation, it's probably not steak. It's probably not chicken. It's probably not the meat,
yeah.
right? And to do
right.
that for a short period of time and then his advice is you're going to reintroduce one food group at a time, right? And of course, we may be able to suss out.
So he's using it as kind of a set of baseline, get away from everything that's inflammatory.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, he's personally using it because that's how he eats. That's all he eats and has for
okay.
like seven something years. And this oh, wow. is a big, strong dude. I mean, he's huge. He's like 6'7", 250
yeah.
pounds or something. But he's also
oh my
set
gosh.
World record. Yeah, he set world records in in deadlift. He's been the world champion, the Masters world champion in the Scotland's Games. He was a strongman competitor for a while. So he's on to something there. And I will tell you this one last thing, Monica. You know I'm not a big fan of the vegetables. I'll just go ahead and say it right now. It's kind of a running joke here with us coaches. I'm not a fan of veggies. My wife, it's her favorite foods, which to me is just incomprehensible how that could be anybody's favorite food. But after I interviewed Dr. Baker, it's been a few weeks ago now, I went around for the whole entire week just saying to her, I'm carnivore now. I'm carnivore. No, I'm just carnivore. Of course, I'm not, folks, just so you know.
When does this podcast release?
It will come out the week after this one. So I think it's next week's podcast for people listening. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll have to give it a listen to. And all my years of nutrition coaching, I actually have seen one person who thrived in a carnivore style diet. But, and there's a big but there, it was male, because women, I think, need some carbs for hormonal help. But he had a medical condition. He had severe, IBS?
Yeah.
Inflammatory bowel syndrome. And he found that when he stuck with pretty much a carnivore diet, it took almost all of his symptoms away. So he just ate carnivore. I mean, literally every night for dinner was grilled chicken, pork chops, grilled a steak. Yeah. If he stayed with that and stayed away from sugar, he felt so much better. One person
you've hit the nail on the head.
So there's few and far between.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. The reason that we're even having a conversation about carnivore, why it's a thing, because it is a very extreme diet, right, is because of the amazing success stories that people with health issues have had on it. And I asked Sean Baker on the podcast, I said, do you think that these people having these incredible success stories, is it because of the nutrients found in meat, or is it because of what we're removing? And he said, I think it's probably a little of each, but clearly these people that are having these life-changing health events by switching to carnivore, it is probably more due to what they're eliminating than what they're currently eating. And he goes on to say something pretty sensible, like, look, if you're eating the standard American diet, which is basically processed crap, and you switch to carnivore, you have gone from eating basically processed, ultra-processed,
nutrient-sparse garbage
crap, and you're eating very nutrient-dense whole food. That alone, whether it was carnivore, plant-based, probably doesn't matter. You're going to have amazing health benefits by just making that switch. So it was interesting. I expected him to be more of a zealot. He was less so. He kind of like, I don't care what you eat. This is what I eat.
Right. I was expecting zealot.
Yes, I was. Just because it's so hardcore, right?
Yeah. Oh, and I think the word you were looking for before is autoimmune. People with autoimmune.
Thank you. Yes.
Issues.
Holy moly.
Because autoimmune encompasses
anybody with autoimmune disorders.
Things.
Thank you for that. Yes.
Sure.
I don't know why I drew a blank on that. Yeah. The choice of podcasting. I just needed that word minutes ago. All right. Hey, Monica, before I got a couple other things I want to run by you here, but we're recording this right before Easter. Got a question for you because we both have adult kids.
Okay.
Do you still do Easter baskets for your kids?
You know, I think this is the first year I will not because my daughter won't even be home.
All right.
cry. My son will. And actually, I looked at him the other day and I'm like, okay, are you going to be sad if the Easter bunny doesn't come? Okay, keep in mind, my son is 22. He'll be 23 this year. Just graduated from college. Just got his big boy job. And I kicked him off my cell phone plan. That was a really good day. But he's like, Mom, no.
All right.
We don't need. Do you? Surely not. Your kids are both out of the
house.
All
right. Here you go. So my son's 27. My daughter's 21.
Yeah.
And yes, they still get Easter baskets. My wife,
really?
And now look, I don't.
Tara still makes.
My son probably could care less. My daughter, however, she would freak out. It would be a national emergency if she did not get a Easter basket. And when I say an Easter basket, I mean because we don't eat a whole lot. Well, my daughter certainly does. She's like a hummingbird. She could live on sugar, I think. But we don't eat a whole lot of candy
like
in general. But their baskets full of the crap that you think. I mean.
Jelly beans,
chocolate bunnies, and of course they usually get like
the marshmallow things. Peeps.
Yeah, so yes, by adult kids. I'm not sure that's ever going to end because my wife just won't let it. Anyway, yeah, but I wanted to ask you that.
Actually, yeah, my daughter's 20. Yeah. She's away in college, and she informed me a couple of weeks ago that she was not going to be able to come home for Easter. And she wrapped up with stuff there at school. She wasn't going to be able to make it home. And I'm like, well, do I need to send you something for Easter and
care
send
package?
It to you? She's like, yeah. Mom, I don't. Yeah. Do I need to send an Easter care package? I'm like, she's like, Mom, no, I don't need anything.
That's funny. So, all right.
Well, off the
good
hook.
For you. All right. I'd be interested to hear what other folks are doing out there with their adult children. I'm just wondering, you know, my kid's going to be parents giving their kids Easter baskets and we're still giving them Easter baskets? I don't know how that works.
Yeah, I don't know.
Exploring some new territory here. All right. Well, Monica, there was some interesting news that we shared with each other or amongst the coaches here last week. You sent us an article that I thought was really interesting, and it was titled, Medicare Plans Can Now Cover Wegovy for Patients at Risk for Heart Disease. So,
yeah,
I'd love to get your thoughts on that.
Okay, so this is huge. I ran across this article a couple of weeks ago, and when I saw it, I immediately texted it out to everybody at Silver Edge. I was like, oh my gosh, this is big. There are a couple of things here. So what it is CMS, or Centers for Medicaid and Medicare Services, actually approved for heart patients who also are dealing with obesity. So you have to meet both of those criteria, because they showed that if the heart patients lost weight, it reduced their risk of a cardiovascular event by 20%.
Sure, makes sense. Yep.
So, so 20% less chance you'll have a heart attack if you're very overweight, and now they're going to pay for it. You know, and Medicare kind of sets the standard for what private health care insurers are going to cover. So, you know, when Medicare makes a step, then all of the other
big
private
insurers
ones are going to
probably
follow
suit. Yeah, I think that's a fair statement. Yep.
Yeah, because, you know, up to this point, Wegovy was a diabetic medication. That was the only way you could use it. And then the FDA last year said, okay, well, you can
let me interrupt you for 1 minute. Not the only way you can use it. The only way insurance will pay for it, right? So today,
we'll pay
until
for it.
This article, basically the only way to get insurance to pay for your Ozempic, your Wegovy, et cetera, is because it was originally developed as a diabetic drug. But
correct.
All right. Yep. Just want to make sure folks listening understood that.
Yes. And until the FDA actually came out last year and said, okay, doctors can now prescribe this off label just to treat obesity. But the insurance companies still were not going to pay for it. So now Medicare is going to start paying for Wegovy to be prescribed to the overweight and
at risk for heart disease
patients. Yeah. So that's pretty big step right there, because I actually looked up the price. I mean, we've always heard Wegovy is so expensive. Current price, $1,349 per month without insurance.
Yeah.
$1,349 a month.
That's
darn expensive medicine.
And it's a once a month injection, right?
Yeah, once a month injection. Yeah, I mean, so that's a huge step.
That is.
And I delved a little bit further into this, because I'm like, okay, well, what weight can you lose on Wegovy? I mean, we've all heard about the side effects. It makes you tired. It makes you nauseous. It can give you diarrhea, gastric side effects. Can just make you feel all over bad. So I started doing some other research to see, like, how much weight would they lose? So there's published studies. I looked up Wegovy.com. Published studies on their website. 68-week study, which is 15 months. On average, people lost 35 pounds over 15 months. Or 15% of their body weight. I don't think that's a huge weight loss for 15 months.
Yeah. Well, you know, just to play devil's advocate,
And you also have to pair this with a reduced calorie diet and an exercise
plan. There you go.
Yeah. But it doesn't tell you it doesn't give you anything about what those are.
Here's just to play devil's advocate again. So I think where this is getting some popular traction and just why all of a sudden it's all the rage, couple of things. First of all, we've never really had a prescription drug that was effective for weight loss, right? And most patients will see weight loss. And now to your point, You know, right. whether that's a a significant amount or not, look at it from the point of view of somebody who's been overweight their entire adult life, especially in our age group, right? And has struggled with weight and probably feels at this point that it's just not in the cards for them. They got crappy genetics and that's why they're overweight. It's out of their control. And now they look at this, well, hey, if I could lose 35 pounds and keep it off, that's a dream come true, right? So I think that that's part of the allure now of this medicine, because we do have something that is effective, unlike most other things in the past. But we're in this really weird state with the whole prescribe, don't prescribe. And I think that you're right. This is, you know, now if you are obese and at risk of heart disease, which is basically every obese person is at risk for heart disease, there is is now going to be a way for insurance to pay for this. And I think that's going to open the floodgates really for even more widespread use than it already is getting right now.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, every doctor out there who deals with heart patients are going to be handing these probably out left and right to anybody who's overweight. But what happens when you stop taking it?
Yeah, you gain the weight back. Yeah, 100%.
And again, on the same website, they have another little chart there. They had another controlled study where patients took the medication and, you know, they lost weight. Then they had half of the patients to stop taking Wegovy. The other half kept on taking it. And then what do you think happened?
Yeah, the group that stopped taking gained the weight back. Yeah,
100%. Gained the weight back. The ones that kept on taking the Wegovy, they leveled out on their weight loss. I mean, you know, lost a few more pounds, but the other ones gained right back. So it's not a permanent.
It's not. No. But unfortunately.
And to me, that's a temporary fix.
It is a temporary fix, but I think the more responsible voices out there are saying, hey, this is interesting technology and we can use this alongside of lifestyle modification in a temporary setting. So a responsible doctor might say, hey, Mrs. Smith, let's put you on Wegovy, Ozempic, tirzepatide, if I'm saying that one right, one of these weight loss prescription drugs. Mm-hmm. And we're going to prescribe 6 months of this. But along with that, we are going to start a strength training program. We are going to start a food modification and behavioral eating type. But
I think you hit the nail on the head right there. Because doctors need to prescribe three things. You get Wegovy, but you've got to be in this. You got to be in that as well. Because without changing your everyday normal habits, You're just putting a Band-Aid on something, and when you take the Band-Aid off, it's nothing's fixed.
Yeah. The other thing is, we're at, especially in our age group, losing weight in general, if you're morbidly obese, is going to be a healthy move in that direction. But for those of us that are 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 pounds overweight, 50, 60 years old, losing muscle is an unhealthy thing. So if we're losing as much muscle as fat in this weight loss because we're not pairing our Wegovy with professionally designed strength training programs, we're really putting our health at further risk, right? We're just becoming closer to sarcopenia.
Yes.
And I just feel like there's this idea out here that this is being marketed as this sort of miracle drug. All you got to do is take this injection once a month. And that's unfortunate. I mean, I see the allure of that for a lot of people. Again, especially that population that maybe has felt like they've tried everything and wants to give up. This must seem like it has a lot of promise. And it's just an interesting place to be right now. And I think you're right. I think that this whole Medicare is now going to cover this because we know the pharma industry has been pushing hard to have obesity itself classified as a disease, because once that happens, then insurance can prescribe away, right? And that's where the real money is once we take that cost barrier from the consumer, pass it on to big insurance, which is playing a game with that money, really. Then now we have wide mass acceptance of that, and that's great for if you're a shareholder of Pfizer or of Eli Lilly, right? So,
and then you see all of these, you know, top entertainers and singers and you know who are losing weight now and using this drug. What Kelly Clarkson, did she admit that she had used?
You're outside of my cultural comfort zone, right there. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
or Oprah Winfrey.
I think so, yeah.
I mean, there's been some top name starlets, we'll call them, who have used these types of drugs and have lost weight. And they're, oh, look at me. Look what I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you pair that with the classic, I call it American mentality of Amazon Prime thinking. I want it easy. I want a shortcut. I want to do it now. I want it tomorrow. Yeah. Instead of being in something long haul.
Sure. Yeah, no, I'm with you. But
and
look,
this spits the bill.
Let's back up and address this problem at a macro level. I just read that global obesity rates have just topped 1 billion people, and it's estimated that by 2030, half of all Americans will be obese. I mean, if you are a drug maker in the weight loss prescription drug market, you got to be licking your chops right now. That is one heck
Absolutely.
Of a total addressable market, that TAM for them.
That's a lot of
yeah,
people.
Yeah, and I mean,
that's a lot of market.
That's a lot of market. Yeah. And if you look at, I mean, just this class of drugs, these semi-glutide drugs, the sales of these surged 89% last year, more than quadrupled since 2020. So crazy stuff happening. I just read that Eli Lilly is partnering with Amazon. Speaking of, I want it now for home delivery of this. We see people like...
Oh, really? You can just order it on
yes,
Amazon.
Yes, you can.
Then.
Yeah, you can get your Zepatide through Amazon with this
you
new...
Can really,
I don't know
really
that's
that
already,
Amazon Prime tomorrow.
Already fleshed out, but yes, that Eli Lilly's in talks with Amazon for home delivery. We know that Weight Watchers early on got in this game. So they bought a company called, I think it was Sequence, and that is a tele...
Was it last year?
I think it was early last year.
I think it was early last year that they did that.
$130-plus million dollars, they bought this company, this telehealth company, specifically so they have the ability to prescribe Wegovy and Ozempic specifically in that case. But it's interesting. The toothpaste is out of the tube. It's not going back in. These are not going away. No. They are now a part of our reality moving forward. And as people, professionals in the health and wellness space and really in the weight loss space, although you and I would say we are in the muscle building fat loss space, we're not really interested in weight loss per se. It's just an interesting phenomenon to see where this is going, where this is going to head.
It'll be interesting to see. You know, I hope that Weight Watchers takes a different course with this and does the pairing thing. Okay, if we're going to prescribe this for you, you have to be in our program. Because overall, I think Weight Watchers, I mean, their approach is different than ours, but they do make good habit changes as far as making people be aware of what they're eating. Make sure they're eating some protein. I don't know what they promote. I've not.
They promote low calorie primarily. That's their mechanism. But they promote. Yeah. They do promote healthy lifestyle. So until this move,
healthy lifestyle.
Until this most recent acquisition, they have been a lifestyle modification weight loss company.
And that's a good thing.
That is a good thing.
Yes. So
it's certainly a better thing.
Maybe they'll take the high road and not
Monica.
Here's your prescription for Wegovy.
Let me put it this way. If I make a lot of money selling you drugs for the rest of your life, what I don't want you to do is get better so you don't need my drugs anymore. It is more profitable for me to have you take my drug for the rest of your life than it is for me to say, hey, just take this for 4 months, kind of let's until we integrate these healthy habits and learn these new behaviors, et cetera, there's no money in that. The money is in, you know, that cash cow, that person that is a customer for life. And I just feel like there's too much financial incentive in place for people to push prescription drugs as the end-all be-all solution. So what?
Have you seen any studies on long-term effects?
I don't know that there are yet. I mean, these drugs are pretty new. What are they, 5 years maybe? I'm not sure how long they've even been around. But yeah, what's going to happen, you know, when we get into the multi-generational things, let alone the 20, 30, 40-year long-term studies? Don't know. Yeah.
Are we going to have a bunch of, you know, 90-year-olds running around in 20 years who are thin and have all of these other medical conditions from taking Wegovy for extended long periods
we'll
of time.
See.
And they have no muscle.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that would be another thing. They're little walking skeletons with zero muscle.
That's what we don't want. So we're
They're skinny
fat. So we will rail hard against that right up until the very end, right? We don't want the sarcopenia. We don't want the skinny fat. We don't want frailty. No. We want to fight frailty, 100%.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of the future and medicine and technology, I shot you over a crazy story that I saw online. This showed up in, I think it was it Muscle and Health or Muscle? What was it?
You said Muscle and Health.
It was Muscle and Health. And the title of the article was, "A new drug, SLU-PP332, mimics the effects of exercise in the body." Now, this is crazy. This is really crazy. This sounds like science fiction, but scientists...
That's exactly what I thought. It was like, did this come out of Star Trek?
It sounds like it could have. The scientists at Washington University School of Medicine, so that's a university in St. Louis, are talking about a pill that could prevent heart disease, dementia, and even build muscle by mimicking these effects of being active, and they're calling it the fitness pill. So they've got this, and that's the headline is now picked up on this, hey, new fitness pill being worked on, developed, et cetera. Now, so far, they've been successful with rodent cells, to my understanding. Certainly no, we're not to human trials or anything. But Monica, your take on a potential fitness pill, what do you think?
For one thing, this sounds like crazy.
Sounds pretty crazy.
But I read through the article. I had not seen this before you shot it over to me. And I was like, this can't be right. I mean, this is too far out there. But apparently it's there. I mean, the article says it increases a fatigue resistant type of muscle doing exercise.
Yeah, our slow twitch type one.
So it supposedly increases your endurance is the type of muscle that it affects. Well, the very first thought was, oh my gosh, this would be like a dream drug for Lance Armstrong.
Or any of our endurance
Remember
folks.
Lance Armstrong?
Yeah, that's right. Got caught doping.
The Tour de France driver, you know, rider who won the Tour de France, like, I don't know, even know how many times in a row. Yeah. And he did it he cheated because he was giving his body extra, kind of like extra recovery. None of the other riders.
I think that sport in particular is pretty bad for doping. But yes, point well taken.
But he got caught.
He had a little pharmaceutical help. Yeah, there. He sure did.
But that was my first thought. Is like, oh my gosh, this would be like a dream drug for Lance Armstrong that he would increase all of this endurance and all of this muscle, this resistant, what is it, fatigue resistant muscle to build all of that. I mean, it sounds like a dream come true, but I don't know. I mean, if you build up a bunch of the fatigue resistance muscle, what about the muscle fibers that get fatigued? Are you going to be severely out of balance? I mean, your muscles need things to keep on going. They need ATP.
Right.
They need oxygen. They need water.
And they need stimulation, by the way.
Yes. Resistance.
Sure.
Are you only building this one specific type of muscle fiber and not the other muscle fibers?
Yeah.
Is it going to make your body be out of balance?
I don't know. The whole thing is so wacky. The lead researcher, I saw him speaking about this, and he's speaking eloquently about, we envision this for people with neurodegenerative diseases, people that may be paralyzed, things like this. We may have a way of helping somebody in these advanced stages of muscle atrophy to build off. But then he goes on to say, half jokingly, not really jokingly, I think he says something like, well, it's also going to be great for people like me I'm lazy. I don't really like to exercise, and I can derive benefits from this as well. And I'm thinking to myself, holy crap, because how far of a leap is it for this to be prescribed for people with severe, neurodegenerative diseases, which would be a good thing, to trying to, the big market isn't that tiny sliver of people with these horrible diseases. The big market, again, are people that are, like this guy says, I'm lazy. I don't like to exercise. It would be great if I could just take a fitness pill. I'm thinking, no, I don't think it would be great. Wow.
It might be all of those people who've been on Ozempic. Or will be for,
look,
the next
how
20
could
years.
The
maybe they'll
You
need
could
this.
See the future being, and I ask guests when I have like these doctors, it's especially those that are into, advanced longevity and whatnot, I always say, where do you see technology going? Do you ever see a time when we might take a pill and that solves all of our nutrition. We take another pill, or maybe it's some kind of machine, a bed we lay in for 20 seconds that takes care of all of our exercise, and that we achieve optimal health and body composition through technology. And they're all, no, I don't think that. I'm not so sure. I mean, if this is what's here today,
this
what's
kind of makes you think otherwise.
It's crazy. Yeah. Just crazy.
Yeah. This is crazy. Now, the second thought as I was reading through this is that what if, okay, going down that road of people with who are paralyzed, who have neuromuscular diseases like ALS, what if we can give this to those people and develop them a real course to getting well?
Sure.
Think about it. I mean, if you were in a car accident and you got paralyzed from the neck down, and your doctor walks into your room and is like, oh, this is no problem. We heal this all the time. We're going to start you on this course of this SLUPP332. Yeah. I have to get a better name
right,
for it.
Right. They're going to have to come up with a better.
We're going to start you on this, and we're going to be able to regrow your muscles and all of your nerve connections in a month, and we'll have you back to normal. I mean, that would be like a true
miracle. That is a miracle fitness pill, as opposed to
that is a miracle.
I'm lazy and don't want to move. Fitness pill.
Yeah.
Yeah. But again, think about it. Think about the dollars and cents. The big financial gain would not be for that very rare case of somebody in that horrible situation, but the real money is going to be in, I'm lazy, don't like to work out. If I take this pill, that will cover me for the day. My fear is that's how we're going to end up marketing if something like this actually comes to be. Who knows?
Unfortunately, I think you're right.
That's crazy.
Yeah. This is crazy, like total science fiction sounding.
All right. Well, let's transition away from that. I thought those were a couple of fun articles that came across last week. So speaking of science fiction and miracle drugs, we're obviously not fans of that over here at the Silver Edge. We feel very strongly that lifestyle modification is the way to go. And if somebody were wanting to jumpstart their healthy aging journey, maybe they're listening to this right now, Monica, and they're like, dang, if only there was like some sort of jumpstart, some sort of quick 21-day program for me to really learn some healthy habits, to learn a framework for moving myself from becoming a fat storer to a fat burner. If I could learn how to burn fat and build muscle and be strong and healthy and energetic and vital, wouldn't that be great? What would you say to somebody like that?
I would say, we've got something right up
your
alley.
Is that what you'd say? All right, folks.
I would say, hold on, because we got something for you.
I teed up Monica for that. So those of you who have been around here for a while, you know we love to do our 21-day challenges. Monica, what do we got launching this week? What? In fact, by the time this comes out, it will be launched. Some of you listening will already know that. But yeah. What's up? What are we doing?
So I've been working on a top secret project. It was top secret because only the Silver Edge coaches knew it. So we've done several of these in the past. They're always very, very popular and a lot of fun. So we have our spring 21-day metabolic makeover challenge. And it's going to be starting on April the 8th. We'll go through the 28th. And this is a great way to get in those and learn and really make those core healthy habits an everyday lifestyle thing that you do. And our hope is that by the end of the 21 days, these five everyday healthy habits is something that you're going to do every single day without thinking about it. It's just going to turn into a habit that is you just effortlessly do it. And we have a lot of fun with this. So what we're doing is making daily exercise, enough hours of sleep a night, walking a minimum amount of steps every day, drinking enough water, and eating enough protein. Those are our five core healthy habits. And then we make it be fun because wellness and being in a group like this is always a lot more fun and more motivating when you're all in it together and doing fun things. So we always have bonus points every day for doing and extra habits. And those vary every day. They can be, did you eat all your meals yesterday sitting down? Did you practice mindful eating? Did you eat enough fruits and vegetables every day? I'm going to be looking at your score.
Yeah, I'm going to be in trouble when we come to the vegetable day. All right. Okay. I've braced myself now.
It could be, did you limit alcohol yesterday? I mean, there's a different, you know, extra credit thing every single day for these 21 days. The fun part of this is we actually put all of the participants into, we have a cell phone app that we use for our private coaching clients. So here at the Silver Edge, we do offer one-on-one personal coaching. It involves an exercise program, learning a new way of eating, and everybody's way of eating is different.
Right.
What works for me is not going to work for you. You have to learn your own unique way of eating that's going to be healthy and sustainable for you. We help our clients to learn all of that. So we communicate with clients through this phone app. They have their workouts in the app. They have tasks and habits set up in this app. It's like an all-in-one thing. So we run the challenge in this app and everybody will be in there. You'll have a choice of workouts and it's dependent upon which equipment they have at home or available to them. We have a home style one that's just dumbbells and bands. So pretty minimal equipment. We have one that's like a home gym. Maybe you have a few more pieces of equipment and one that's a full gym. Maybe you have a gym membership to, you know, the purple gym around the corner or something. But you have a choice of exercise programs there. And then you will have your daily tasks. There's 5 set daily tasks every day and then the 1 bonus task. Within this app, we also have a community forum where everybody will be commenting and talking. And like on the first day, I usually have everybody just introduce yourself into the
and that's how you pick
forum.
Up the first day's bonus point, right? Yeah.
It is exactly. Yeah. So I gave you an extra lead in point right there. So introduce yourself, you know, hey, I'm from wherever place that you live at in the world. And undoubtedly, we always wind up with a couple of people who they live in the same town or one town over from each other, or, oh, I grew up in that town mm-hmm. or. You know, it makes our world feel a lot more smaller once we start learning where everybody is at in that forum. But it's a great way to bounce ideas off of people, get to know one another, and just feel like you're a part of a big group that we're all conquering this challenge
right.
together.
That's that community aspect. Absolutely love it.
Yes.
Well, Monica, let's see. So people are probably familiar with 21-day nutrition challenges. Is the winner the person who loses the most weight?
Well, we don't know because we don't ask them how much weight they lost. Yeah. That's not one of the things that we concentrate
on. So this is not a weight loss challenge. We do not ask people their weight before and after. We strongly feel that that kind of sets you up. We're not fans of crash dieting for 21 days. Look, anybody could cut your calories, get you to lose weight in 21 days, but you haven't learned sustainable, lifelong, healthy habits. And you're almost certainly like damn near 100% going to gain whatever weight you lose on a 21-day challenge back. We're not fans of that.
Absolutely.
The older you are and the more times you do that, the more you're doing damage to your metabolic health long term. So if that's the case, who's going to be the winner? What's the winner going to do that's going to set them apart?
That is a great question. Our winner is always the person who is most engaged. They were the person who did the task every day.
The most consistent, right?
The people who most consistent. Right. And that is always our winner is consistency.
Right.
It's not the person who, lost 10 pounds. I ran a marathon. I had never done that. No, the people who are the most consistent, who did the 5 daily habits, who participated with all of the bonus points, had that sense of community, were active, that is always our winner every time.
100%. Love it. Yeah. So
I just gave away the secret on how to win.
That's your secret hack.
Challenge.
So you podcast listeners have got a leg up for anybody who has not listened to this podcast. You now know the hack to win this is to be the most consistent, because really that mirrors your lifelong, long-term success of building and maintaining this lean, healthy, strong, vital, capable body that many of us are chasing here in our 50s and 60s. So like Monica said, this is all going to be run in an app, and we're really excited. This is our first time for current clients listening. If you've been around here for a while, you probably remember we went from our legacy coaching software to this new software platform a few months back. And one of the main reasons we made that very painful journey for both ourselves and our clients, right? We try to make it as painless for our clients as we could, but was because we wanted a tool that was built, purpose-built in order for us to run these challenges efficiently. We're really excited about that. Monica puts a ton of work into each and every one of these challenges. There's an amazing amount of work that goes into building these and then actually running them. And of course, post challenge, just the processing of all that. So a ton of work goes into that. So that being said, how much does it cost to join this challenge this year?
It costs zero.
All right.
It's free.
Okay.
Free.
Then why would somebody not join this challenge?
Because they didn't hear about it.
They didn't hear about it. Maybe they just don't want to lose some fat and build some muscle and develop some healthy habits, right?
Yeah. They don't want to learn healthy habits. They don't want to increase their wellness.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Those are the people that would be bad candidates. So if you fall into that category, probably just ignore this. All right. Folks, in all seriousness, we love doing challenges here. I personally, like I said, I am not a fan of these 21-day weight loss body transformation things. Look, if you're in your 20s, that's fantastic. Go have at it. If you're in your 50s and 60s, you're doing, like I said, I personally believe, my professional opinion, you're doing more harm than good by crash dieting and losing some weight quickly, only to regain it back. But I do, I love the idea of a challenge. I love the idea of this kickstart and getting people excited about investing in themselves, investing in their health. So I encourage you to check this out. We start, if you're listening to this, the day it drops, this drops on Wednesday, the 3rd, I think, April 3rd, where you got got some time to get signed up. You can, if you're in our private Facebook group, the Over 50 Lean Body Blueprint, we'll be all over there. The link will be in the show notes for this podcast episode. You guys can find that there. You just go to silveredgefitness.com, click on the podcast icon at the top. That'll be the show notes for this episode right at the top of that page. If you're on our email list, you've already seen this. You already know this. Maybe you just haven't gotten around to signing up. This is your call to action. Let's get you in there. We're really excited. The more people in there, the more we have a big, fun, vibrant community. I think just the more enjoyable it is for everybody, us coaches included.
It's a lot of fun. And let me just say, if any of you out there have considered joining our one-on-one coaching, this is the best way to experience what coaching from one of our coaches here would be like, because you're using the same coaching software, the same apps, smartphone app that we use with our private clients. Right. They do their workouts on there. They do their habits on there. And we're also going to have open office hours. So you get to talk to one of our coaches. I will be in there. Kevin is going to be in there a couple of weeks. I think Coach Chess is going to be with me a couple of weeks. So if you want to, and we're going to do those via Zoom. Mm-hmm. So we are here for your disposal. Ask any questions that you want. But this is the, hands down, the best way to feel what it's like to be coached by one of us.
100%. So yeah, that's a great point, Monica. Those of you that maybe have been on the fence about coaching, whether with us or with somebody else, this is a great way to come in and not really just, I mean, obviously you'll get to see our infrastructure, right? The app is really, really cool. You get to experience that, but you'll meet the coaches. You meet all the coaches in there. You'll get a feel for our personalities and you can help maybe decide whether we're the right fit for you and your goals. So absolutely encourage you guys to hop in here, get into our challenge. Like I said, it's a lot of fun. We've done a number of these in the past. And we'll continue to do them in the future just because they're great community building exercises. People seem to love them. And I can't wait for this one to kick off next week. Again, folks, go to silveredgefitness.com, click on the podcast icon. If you're listening to this, just click on this episode. You'll see in the show notes there the entry form. Can't wait to see you guys inside the 21-day Metabolic Makeover Challenge.
And if you're not on our private Facebook group, get in there. What are you waiting for?
100%.
Look for Over 50 Lean Body Blueprint.
The Over 50 Lean Body Blueprint, 100%. Yeah, get in there. Great group of folks there. You have access to all of our coaches. You can ask us anything in there. Fun group. Love to see you in there. All right. Well, Monica, I want to end by thanking you for your time here today. Obviously, always fun to talk to you. But I really want to thank you so much for your hard work, and not just your hard work, but your dedication on putting together these these all of our programs, but specifically these challenges. I know there's a tremendous amount of work that goes into that. I really want to thank you for all your hard work, all your dedication, and let you know that I'm truly appreciative of that. And I know that the folks go through through our challenges certainly are as well.
Thank you so much, Kevin. I love my job. I think I have the best job in the world.
Right on.
I really do.
Okay, folks, for those of you who are listening to this before April 8th, 2024, and have not signed up for our 21-day Metabolic Makeover Challenge, please head over to the show notes for this episode at silveredgefitness.com/275 and get in there. I look forward to seeing you inside the challenge. Okay, that's our show for today, folks. If you've enjoyed this podcast, I want to let you know that we have other free resources over at silveredgefree.com. There you'll find our free guides with our top tips on nutrition, exercise, and healthy lifestyle to assist you in your weight loss and fitness journey. So feel free to head over there and download anything that looks useful to you. I'll put links to everything we talked about today in the show notes, and you folks can find that over at silveredgefitness.com/275. As we wrap up our time together today, you can show your support for this show in two important ways. The first is to tell a friend about this podcast and encourage them to give it a listen. The second is for you YouTube folks to please click the like and subscribe buttons, and for you podcast folks to please give this podcast a 5-star review on whatever platform you listen to podcasts on, and be sure to subscribe and follow so you don't miss any future episodes. I really appreciate you spending your time with me today, and until next time, stay strong. Hello, and welcome to the Over 50 Health and Wellness Podcast. I'm your host, Kevin English. I'm the founder of the Silver Edge. Wow, got a lot of slobber in the mouth today.